Today's shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Mem Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Mem Zayin Amar Aleph at the new Perek. The Mishnah now will continue speaking about the Seder Hayoyim, the Avoida of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. We had learned in the previous Perek, the beginning of the Avoida of the Ketores, how the Kohen Gadol would scoop from the Mizbeach Achitzah in the coals for the Ketores, which were to be offered in the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur. And the Mishnah now will continue describing that Avoida. Says the Mishnah, Hatziyah lo yasakaf v'samachta. They bring out for the Kohen Gadol a spoon and a shovel. Chofa meloy chofnaf. He scoops up a handful of ketores, the nois motoicha kaf, and he puts it into the spoon. A gadol lefi gadloi, a big Kohen Gadol according to the size of his hands, large hands. A katla lefi kaitnai, and a smaller Kohen Gadol according to the size of his smaller hands. And that was the measure that was required of Ketores. Continues the Mishnah. Not less a mach to be minoi. He takes the shovel in his right hand, does a kaf for smoloi, and the spoon with Ketores in his left hand. The Midrash Tavit points out that we know that normally the halacha is that Ketores has to be salted before it's offered on the Mizbeach, yet our Mishnah doesn't speak about the salting of the Ketores. Says the Midrash Tavit, it seems to be that here we see that there is no requirement to do salting on the Ketores that's used in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. The Michas Chinuch disagrees. Michas Chinuch says that just like all Ketores require salting, so does this Ketores. The Mefarshim discuss that we know that Avoida is not supposed to be done with the left hand. Yet here we see that the Kohen Gadol carried the Ketores in to the Beis HaMikdash with his left hand. So some Rishonim explain that the Isser to do Avoida with the left hand is only Midrabanan. Here, as we will learn in the Gemara, it was impossible to carry it in with his right hand, so that's why it was carried with the left hand. Other Rishonim answer that it is an Chiyuv Midaraisa to do all Avoidus with the right hand. But again, here, because of the impassable situation, the Torah tells us that we may use the left hand, the Kohen Gadol may use the left hand for carrying in the Ketores. Yet other Rishonim say that the Isser to do Avoidus with the left hand is limited to Avoidus with the dam, with blood of a carbon, like the Hoylocha of the dam after Shechita to take it to the Zrika. However, regarding an Avoida which doesn't apply to dam, to the blood of a carbon, like our Gemara, we were talking about Ketores, there is no Isser to do the Avoida with the left hand. The Mefarshim also discuss that when our Mishnah speaks about this Avoida being done in this fashion, where the Ketores was carried by the Kohen Gadol, the shovel in the right hand, the ladle in the left hand, was it only regarding the Ketores which was offered in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? But as we know, on Yom Kippur, like on every other day of the year, there was a portion of Ketores offered in the morning, another portion offered in the afternoon. Those portions are offered the same way as they are all year. Or perhaps all the Ketores that's offered on Yom Kippur, even the Ketores that is not unique to Yom Kippur, was offered in this specific manner. Says the Gemara, Machta Tanalei. Our Mishnah already taught us about Machta, about a shovel, because we learned in the previous parak, Nartalos a Machta, the Kohen Gadol takes a shovel, V'olol Roshim Mizbeach, and he goes to the Mizbeach, V'chois of Yared, and he takes coals and he goes down from the Mizbeach. So why is our Mishnah again discussing a Machna? Answers the Gemara, Hasa Machta the Gecholim. The previous parak was talking about the shovel full of coals. For Hocha, our Mishnah, on the other hand, is speaking about Machta the Ketores, the shovel of Ketores. The Tanya, as we went in the Braisa, Hotz like Kaf Reikim Melishkas Akelim, they would bring out an empty ladle from the place where they kept all the utensils. And a shovel full of Ktaris from the chamber of Aftinus. As we learned, Aftinus was the family that prepared the Ktaris. The Mishnah said, Chafa Maloi Chafnov, the nice not take a cat, Hagodla fi Godloi, the cotton fi cotton, the cacos midosa. Ask the Gemara, Kaf bi Yom Kippurim, Lomali, why is they halacha that they take a calf, a spoon on Yom Kippur, Maloi Chafnov, a hav Yom Rachmana? The Tyrus said that we should take the Tyrus in the hand, not in the calf. And like the Gevurah Sari explains, the Gemara's question is not that there's anything wrong with a spoon. The spoon, it can be considered an extension of the hand. The question is, however, why do we have to add a spoon into the equation? Why couldn't the Kohen Gadol just carry the Ktaris in his hands? Answers the Gemara, Mishum Dalai Efshar. There is no other option but to carry the Ktaris in the spoon. Because Hechi Nevin, exactly what do you want him to do? Na'ayo, should he go in with the coals? V'hod v'na'ayo, take the coals into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then come out and take the Ktaris into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That wouldn't be acceptable. Because havas achas amrachmana, l'shtei havas. The Torah says that the Kohen Gadol should enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim only once, not twice. On the other hand, nishkalei l'Ktaris b'chofnof, should he carry the Ktaris in his hands, v'nachsei l'machta olavei v'leil, and put the machta on top of it, so there's a problem. Kimati hasam, when the Kohen Gadol will enter the Kodesh Kedoshim, Heichen Avid, what should he exactly do at this point, if his hands are full with the Ktaris in his hands, and the shovel on top of it? And the Rishonim ask, how will he get the shovel on top of the coals? So some Rishonim say that he'll use his teeth, and although we're about to learn using the teeth is inappropriate in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, here where this would be done outside, we don't have to be concerned about that. And others say that another Kohen would put it on his hand, and since that this is not considered an Avodah, another Kohen may do that. The Rosh asks, how could this be acceptable, that he should carry the Ktaris in his hand and put the shovel on top of it? It would be a chatzitza. So he answers that since it would be carried in this fashion, l'tzorech avoida, in order to accomplish the avoida, anything done l'tzorech avoida is not considered a chatzitza. Says the Gemara, b'kimati hosam, if we have the Kohen Gadol entering the Kodesh Kedoshim with the Ktaris in his hand and the shovel on top of it, hechlevet, what should he do at this point? Nishkele b'shine, do you want him to remove the shovel with his teeth? V'nachsei l'machta, and that's how he puts down the shovel and then puts the coals into the shovel. Ask the Gemara, hashtofnei melk bas v'dam en oisekein, it would be highly inappropriate to act this way in front of a regular king working with your teeth. Coming into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, lefnei melech malchem lochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al-kachas kamakap, that it's inappropriate. Hilkach le'efshah, therefore there's no other option. The kevim de le'efshah, since there's no other option, af dinon, what we do is kadashchem b'nesin, that like the nesin we see, they carry the Ktaris in a ladle, so too, he could carry the Ktaris in a ladle. And like the Gevurah Sari says, the Gemara has to find a precedent where the Nesim did this, because without a precedent, just because we have a question, we would not be allowed to establish that that's the way to do the Avodah. So the Mishnah continued, Notel Samachta B'Yamin, he took the Yamachta and the Yamin on the right hand, the Zakaf the small. Ask the Gemara, Yitziva Ba'ara, the Giyor B'Shmei Shemayim. This is a saying, is the citizen on the ground, and the stranger is in the heaven. It means that if there's a city, it's the people who live there who administer the city, and the strangers don't. Here we have a situation where the Ktaris, which is the main thing, is carried in the left hand, and the Machta, which are only the coals, are being carried in the right hand. Answers the Gemara, Zuma Ruba Zuma Atis. Since there are more coals than Ktaris, that's why we have the Kohen Gadol carry the coals in the right hand. And says the Gemara, "Vafilu bezman shneim shavim." Even in a situation where the coals and the tires equal the same weight, we still ukamaiser shmo ben kimchus, like we have a shmo ben kimchus that he carried, that he had a very large tires, as we're going to learn, he had a very large hand. Still, the way Tosfos Yesharim explains, they didn't want to make any exceptions, and they always had the k'tiris in the right hand, the machta with the coals in the right hand, and the k'tiris in the left hand. Zu chama v'zu tzoynenes. So actually, the Bach takes these words out of the Gemara, because he says the reason why the machta is always in the right hand and the k'tiris is always in the left hand, because like plug, we always want to have the same rule. But the other mefarshim, the Mashra, explains how we can include these words. What the Gemara is saying is, even if there will be a situation like Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas, who's carrying, even if we have a situation like Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas, who's had more k'tiris than machta, so maybe perhaps in such a situation the k'tiris should be carried in the right hand, tells us the Gemara, still carry it in the right hand, the machta, because the machta is hot, and therefore it should be carried in the right hand and the k'tiris should be carried in the left hand. So now the Gemara discusses Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas. Amru Lov al Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas, they said regarding Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas, Shayachoyfen arba kavim b'mloy chofnov, his hands held four kavim, and they say the Omer, and they said kol anoshim zordu, all women received Zered, we'll explain that in a moment. The Zered imi olagag, but my mother Zered was superior, went up to the roof. Ikadamri, what does that mean? By arson. It refers to the cereal which is called arson. Arson, which is a type of cereal made from wheat, which is cut ground into five particles. It's very good for a sick person. And he says, my mother ate this cereal, and because my mother ate the cereal, she was able to have such strong children, such large children. It's referring to the semen from which he was conceived. Ravua asked the question. It says in one pasuk regarding David HaMelech, Tazreini chayil melchama, you gave me the strength, and said the word Tazreini without an aleph. The exhibit it says another pasuk, "V'ta'azrei chayil mechama," and there it does say with an aleph. What is the difference? On the double from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, David Melech said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, "Ribono Shloim, zirisoni v'zertoni. You winnowed me and you girded me with strength." And as Mefarshim explained, the drop of zera from which a child is conceived, when there's an emission of semen, there are thousands. Of sperm, millions of sperm, and only one drop of sperm is what fertilizes the egg in the woman, and even that drop of sperm, it's not the whole sperm, because most of the sperm is actually the tail which propels the sperm. And David HaMelech says that sperm from which I was conceived was so perfected that I should come out David HaMelech. Continues the Gemara, Amar lo Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas, he was once speaking with an Arab in the market, and a drop of saliva came from the Arab onto his clothing, and Yishev of his brother took over his place with Shimish Tachtav. And their mother saw two of her children being a kohen gadol in one day. So the Meiri explains that the story was that although it was Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol in his position as the leader of Klal Yisrael had to go out to speak to this king, this Arab, and the Arab had some saliva come on him. The saliva of Goyim, the halach is, has the status of a Zov. He became Tomei, and therefore his brother had to take him over. The Mashah has a different explanation. He says that this actually did not happen on Yom Kippur. It happened on Erev Yom Kippur. But the question is, if it happened on Erev Yom Kippur, then how would he be allowed to, then he could have just gone to the mikvah and be qualified to do the avodah the next day. So they say that it happened so close to Yom Kippur that there was no time to go to mikveh, or that the begadim, the clothing that he wore, became tamei, and since they became tamei, he had no other clothing available, and he had no choice. The Mefarshim ask, the Chazanish asks, we have a rule that tumah hutra b'tzibur. So even though Rabbi Shmuel became tamei, he is mutter to do the avodah because tumah hutra b'tzibur. So the Chazanish answers that not all of the avodah of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur were avodas tzibur. The Kohen Gadol had to bring the power which was his own power. The Kohen Gadol had to bring an aisle which was his own aisle. So since they're not only avodas tzibur, there's only a heter for avodas tzibur by the only a heter for tumah by avodas tzibur, not by avodas yochid. Others explain that the heter of tumah hutra b'tzibur doesn't apply, only applies to tumah smeis, not to a tumah that comes out from the body, a tumah ziva. The Shuv Amra Allah Rabbi Shmuel ben Kenchas. There was another story regarding Shmuel ben Kenchas. Pamachas Yotzu v'sipim Odin Echad b'Shuk. He was once speaking with an Arab merchant in the street. The Nitzat Sinar Mipeva Abgadov. The Nichnas Yosef Ochre v'Shimish Tachdiv. His brother Yosef took his place. V'ras Imen Shnei down b'Yom Echad. His mother saw two Kayam down in one day. Before Hashem asked why this time was it Yosef not Yeshevov. So some say by the time the second story happened, Yeshevov had already passed away. Others say that once Yeshev had once been Rabbi Shmuel's backup and his substitute, Rabbi Shmuel was hurt by that, and therefore they no longer had Yeshev being his backup. They appointed Yosef. The Miri has a different gears in the Gemara. He says that both of these stories happened the same day. So Rabbi Shmuel's mother saw three of her children actually being Kohanim Gedolim in one day: Rabbi Shmuel, Yeshev, and Yosef. Tana Abonim. Shiva Bonim Hoyla Lakimchis. Kimchis had seven sons. The Kulam Shimshu Bikuna Gedol, they all had the position of Kohen Gadol. So the Mefarsh Amalei Chachamim, the Chacham say to Ma Asis Shazichis Lachach, why did you do that you would merit to have seven children Kohanim Gedolim? Amalei Meyamai Leiro Karis Beisi Kalei Sa'ari, never were my hair seen in my house. Amalei Haba also came, many people did this way V'lo Yehiu. So understanding this Gemara, there's not need to understand. First we need to understand, why is the credit given to the mother and not to the father? So some say that actually the schus of having children who are merit to be Kohanim Gedolim comes from the chinuch that a mother gives. As Rashi quotes the Yerushalmi, the pasuk says, Kol klodo basmelach panima mimishbetzayis zav levusha. A woman who's kol kvuda basmelach panima, who acts with sneas, is worthy the mishbetzayis zav levusha, that she should have children who wear the big day zav, who are the kayin gedayim. And the mafashim explain, because sneas represents a woman acting modest, with modesty, privately. So the Kohen Gadol who goes into the most private area in the world, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, an area which is only entered once a year on Yom Kippur, the Schar is very much Mida Keneged Mida. Others say that Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, it had to be his mother, because had it been his father, then why, if his father was so worthy, so why wasn't the father Kohen Gadol? Obviously Rabbi Shmuel's father was a Kohen Gadol, was a Kohen, because if he wasn't a Kohen, he wouldn't be a Kohen. So it must be it was B'schus's mother, not his father. Others explain that his father had other children who were not Kohanim Gedolim. Only all of his mother's children had all of her children being Kohanim Gedolim, not the father. Others say that pshat is that the mother was married more than one time, and from all of the, and she, every time she got married, she married a kohen, and all the children from all those husbands were kohanim gedolim. And the Mefarshim point out that what was her schar, why was she worthy of this? Because she was makbid that have her hair covered. Now the issue is, a woman having her hair covered is what the halacha requires. So why was she zoicha to this? Because she did what the halacha requires. So actually the Mishnah Berurah and the Bi'ur Halacha discusses this, and he quotes the Magen Avraham, So Rav Ram says that the requirement that a woman's hair be covered is only when she's in the street, when she's in public. She was makbid that even when she was at home, in the privacy of her home, her hair was covered. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Zoyar and other Paiskim that say a woman's hair always has to be covered, even in the privacy of her home. So according to that, what was her schus? So they explain that in the home, even though a hair has to be covered, it doesn't have to be as closely covered as it is in the street. The Klosberg Rebbe explains that she was so makbid that her hair should be covered in the privacy of her home in the same degree as it was covered when she was out in public. And of course, the Mefarshim point out, from here we see the other extreme. A person who's not careful that their hair should be covered, Chas v'Shalom, the children could come out not the right way. There's a beautiful vart from the Beninim Yikarim. The Beninim Yikarim says, in Parshas Emor, where the Torah speaks to us about the dinim, about a kohen, when, which kohen and when may a kohen become tamei, and the kohen god will never become tamei, the pasuk says regarding a regular kohen, la'aviv uli'imai, li'imai la'aviv, he's allowed to become tamei li'imai to his mother or la'aviv to his father. Yet he points out when the Torah speaks about the kohen gadol not becoming tamei, there the Torah speaks about la'aviv uli'imai, says the father before the mother. Why? Why does the Torah invert the order? So he explains. Normally, in ancient times, women died younger because they died in childbirth. So the Torah, when it speaks to regular kohen who's allowed to become tamei, it says li'imai to his mother, who's more likely to pass away la'aviv, before his father. However, regarding the kohen gadol, who we just learned how does somebody become a kohen gadol because his mother acts with tznius. If a woman acts with tznius, she's zoicha, she becomes merit to have a riches yamin. So then it's la'aviv. His father is likely to die li'imai before his mother. And in fact, the Masham says, we know by the story of Korach, one of the people who joined Korach at the beginning was Oin ben Peles. Yet, the Das Kanan points out that as we learn the parish of Korach further, we don't find Oin ben Peles mentioned. What happened to Oin ben Peles? So the Das Kanan says that Oin ben Peles was sitting, his wife put him to sleep. His wife told him, why do you need this machloikis? It won't help you anyway. And he went to sleep, and while he was sleeping, his wife sat in the front of the house, on the porch of the house, uncovered her hair. And as soon as she uncovered her hair, when Korach and the other people came to call him, they didn't come close because she was sitting with her hair uncovered. What was the point that she was sitting with her hair uncovered? Explains the Masham that she uncovered her hair. Once she uncovered her hair, she was sending the message to Oin ben Peles, you and our children will never be Kohanim Gedolim, because a woman whose hair is uncovered, her children can't be Kohanim Gedolim. She might as well not get involved in the Machlokes. You won't have anything from it anyway. The Gemara ended off that Harvi Osake V'loi Ilu, many people do this way and it doesn't help. Explains the Meiri, because we don't understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And sometimes it seems that a person should have something coming to him, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a different cheshbon. Harbi Yosekein, people might have covered their hair, but Lo Yilu, for them HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not have the cheshbon that they should have children Kehanim Gedolim. Others explain, the Mabit explains, that certainly Rav Shmuel ben Kinchus's mother had other zechusim besides that her hair was always covered. And the Ben Yoyada explains that when does the schus of having the hair covered work? It's only when it's done with Shmo. If a woman covers her hair because she knows that that's the way she'll have children Kohanim Gedolim, then the children won't be Kohanim Gedolim. It's only when she does it with Shmo, and that's what was unique about Rishmo ben Kinchas's mother. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us the Kumsa. We know that when a carbon mincha is brought, the flour and oil are mixed together, and the kohen has to take a koimitz, a fistful, or describe it soon. Teaches us the pasuk, shloyasim midah l'koimitz. He shouldn't make a measuring cup. Let's say he knows that his fist is a pound, he should have a koimitz in his hand. Iboilhu. Ask the Bnei Yeshiva. Mashiyasim midah l'chfina. The kohen gadol that we speak now makes chfina, takes handfuls of k'tayrus yom kippur. may he make a measure. Do we say Hasum Hudiksiv regarding the Kaimitz? It says Bekumtsoi, it has to be Dafka with its head. Abu Hakat likes it Bechafnov. Here the Torah doesn't use the word Bechafnov. Elamaloi Chafnov Ktaim Sam and Daka. Loi, there is no issue, and he may make a measuring. We learn Xerishava from Kaimitz. Just like the Kaimitz, he can't make a measuring cup, so too by the Chfina. Toshma, it said in our Mishnah, this was the measure, the required measure. My lab, isn't the Mishnah teaching us? If he wants to make a measuring for the Chfina, he may. So the Marloi, that's not what the Mishnah means. Hachikama. Rather, what the Mishnah means is a kachay choyz v'choyfin lefnim. He did chfina outside, then he put that into the ladle, and then he took that ladle and he went into the kodesh kedoshim and did chfina into his hands again. Ask the Gemara, but we will learn on Daf Mem Tes that that's a shaila if chfina was done again in the kodesh kedoshim. If this is the way you're saying that that's pshat in our Mishnah, so sham, no, don't we have a proof that chayfin v'chayz v'chayfin, the chafina was done again in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which we have as a shayla on Daf Mem Tes? Says the Gemara, Dimashon Roitz Lassus Mida Oysa. Perhaps what the Mishnah means is that if he wants, he can make a Mida. So what the Gemara means to say is, we don't know how to learn pshat in the Mishnah. Perhaps the Mishnah means that chafina is done again, or perhaps the Mishnah means that somebody could has to do chfina again. But since the Mishnah is inconclusive, we have no proof to either shaila. Inami, perhaps what the Mishnah means is shlayechse v'shlayoyser. He should make the chfina bigger or smaller than exactly the right amount. So we have no proof from our Mishnah what the halacha is regarding chfina, if we can make a measuring cup for the chfina. Tan Rabban, Malay Kamsai, the Gemara now speaks more about the kmitza. Yochel Mavoritz, we may think that the kmitza, the flour, could be overflowing outside of his hands. Tamalayim Bekumtsoi, that's why the Torah says the word Bekumtsoi, it has to be the size of his hand. E Bekumtsoi, if I would only use the word Kumtsoi, Yochel Afila Barashe Etzbaisuf, one might think they could use just his fingertips, and that capture some flour in them, and that will be enough to do kmitza. Tameloimer meloi kamtsoi, he has to do a full kamtz. Kirakamtsi inshi, he has to do it the way people do it the right way. Hakeitzad, what is the proper way of doing kmitza? Choyfish loishat feoisof, he closes his three middle fingers, apisus yodoi, over the palm of his hand, the kaimitz, and that's the way he does the kmitza, he scoops up the flour. Over machvas of a macheshes, and when we do, when there's a kama mincha made out of, that's fried, or made in a flat pan, meichik begoidloi memala, he smooths out the kaimitz with his thumb from above, or bet spoyer, and with his little finger, from the bottom, avoid the kosh, and this was a very difficult avoid that was done in the base of Mikdash. Because as the Mefarshim explained, we're dealing here with an avoider, that we're dealing here with a, not a kavim mincha, which is in the state of being a flour, rather it was already baked and it's hard or fried and it's brittle. So when the pieces sticking out from his hand, he has to smooth them out, but he can't use his other hand. He has to use his thumb and little finger and nothing else. And as the Brisker Rav explains, he has to use the thumb and little finger of the right hand. He can't use his left hand to smooth it out, because smoothing out the kaimitz is part of the avoida, and the avoida must be done with the right hand. And for the same reason, explains the Chazon Ish, the kohen can't ask another kohen to come and smooth out the kaimitz, because it's part of the avoida that the kohen do kmitza, and that the kmitza be done entirely by him and entirely with his right hand. And that's why it's considered a very difficult avoida. Ask the Gemara, Zuhi v'suloi, is this the only difficult avoida? V'ikka malika. Malika is the way birds were slaughtered in the base of Midrash. If somebody brings a carbon of a bird, The way the Mishnah explained is that the Kohen had to grasp the bird in his right hand and do the Malika with the fingernail with the very same hand, which would involve a lot of dexterity. The Gemara will explain on Daf Mem Tes that Chafina was a difficult avoida. So why is the Gemara saying that only Tyrus is a difficult avoida? Says the Gemara, what he meant to say was El Zuhi Mi Avoidas Kasher Shem Megdash. This was one of the difficult avoida, certainly not the only difficult avoida. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, by Rabbi Shua Ben Uzzah, Dein Hay Benayim Shemalai Kam Tzumahu. What is the status of the flower which is trapped between the fingers when somebody's doing kmitza? So Amra Papa, and Rapapa analyzes the shayla. The gavai, the flower that's towards the hand, towards the palm of the hand, like the bialach is no shayla. The vadi kmitzu has the status of kmitz. The baroi, the flower that's sticking out towards the outside, is also lota bialach, is no shayla. The vadi shrayim is not considered like a kmitz, is considered like the rest of the karban mincha. Key to bialach, the shayla is the beini beini, the flower that's kept between the fingers. My, what is its status? Does it have the status of a kmitz, or does it have the status of shrayim? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, had the pashta of Yeshua ben Uzzah, beini benayim, safik nidu. The beini benayim has the status of a safik. So Tosfos asks, what's he saying? We know we started with a shayla, and we still have a shayla. So what's the Gemara answering? So the Ritva explains that in halacha there are certain things that always remain in a new status. They're in a status of suffix. It's not that they're a suffix we don't know. The halacha treats them as a new status, the status of a suffix. What is the best example? The best example is Bein HaShmoshes. The Ritva explains that Bein HaShmoshes is not that I don't know is Bein HaShmoshes day or Bein HaShmoshes is night. There's a new time called Bein HaShmoshes that has a status of Suffolk. And where is this relevant? There's a beautiful Radvaz. The Radvaz says that if someone, we know that Aloch is that if a child, if a boy is born Friday Bein HaShmoshes, the bris for that child is done on Sunday, because we don't know if he was born on Friday and the bris should be done on Friday, or was he born on Shabbos, the bris should be done on Shabbos. But the halach is that a bris shloi bezmanoi, if the bris should have taken place on Friday, it may not take place on Shabbos. That's why we postponed the bris until Sunday. Says Ritvaz that there were poskim that wanted to say that if a child is born Friday evening and they didn't have a watch, they didn't have a clock to know what time it is, then we may make the bris on Friday. Why? Because it says it's a sfek sfeika. Firstly, maybe the child was indeed born Friday, and even if he was born Bein HaShmoshes, perhaps Bein HaShmoshes is also Friday, perhaps Bein HaShmoshes is Yoyim. Says the Ritvaz, after the Ritva that we just learned, that Bein HaShmoshes is not pshat that maybe it's Friday, maybe it's Shabbos. Bein HaShmoshes is a new status, so we only have one suffix. Maybe the child was born on Friday. If he was born Bein HaShmoshes, that is not a time when a bris is done on Friday, and therefore the halacha should be that even if we don't know what time the child was born, if we have a suffix if it was Bein HaShmoshes, the bris is postponed until Sunday. So now, Heichi Ovid, now that we established that the flower that's left between the fingers is a suffix, what should be done? Amar Rav Chanina, mak the kaimitz l'chudei t'chila. First he should burn the kaimitz on the mizbeach by itself. For had the bein benayim, and then afterwards burn the rest of the kaimitz that was left between the fingers. Ask the Chazon Ish that the Gemara says in Masechet Menachos that you can't do haktara on less than a kazayis. And obviously there's less than a kazayis of kaimitz between the fingers. So the Chazon Ish answers that the issa to do haktara on less than a kazayis is only when I did not first do a haktara on a whole kazayis. Here there was a haktara first done on a whole kazayis. There halach is that I could do the rest. I could do another haktara on less than a kazayis. The Mekab Baruch answers that what they would do is they would begin burning the kaimitz, and before the entire kaimitz was burnt up, they would throw in this mount, which is Bein HaBinayim, and therefore the Bein HaBinayim was not burnt at one time. was burnt with more than a kezayis. Now, says the Gemara, the Amud Beinu B'nayim B'Reisha, you can't burn first the part between the fingers. Why? Because maybe the kaimitz, maybe the flower that's between the fingers has the status of shrayim. And the halacha is all of the shrayim have to be intact when the kaimitz is burnt. If this flower that was Beinu B'nayim has the status of a kaimitz, has the status of shrayim, it will have a situation of havelah shrayim shchatzru bekamitz laktara. The shrayim were not completely intact between the kamitz and laktara. Fabamar shrayim shchatzru bekamitz laktara. If the shrayim aren't completely there when the laktara takes place, and maktimas lakamitz, you can't burn the kamitz. So therefore, burn the kamitz first, and then burn the bein abinayim. And Chaznis says we can't burn them together, because the concern is that if I put them all together, the flower that's bein abinayim and the koimitz, maybe the flower of bein abinayim will burn first, and we'll have a situation that the shrayim was burned first. That's why first burn the koimitz, and then only afterwards approach the shrayim. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi Hashtanami, even with your approach, ask the Gemara, we have a difficulty, because if we can, we have a principle, Kol Shemitet Menol Ishim, Harei Valtateru, anything that's put onto the Mizbeach, you're not going to burn anything that doesn't belong on the Mizbeach. So if this Taurus, if this Bein HaBinayim is not Kaimitz, it's not allowed to be burnt, so how am I putting it on the Mizbeach? Answers the Gemara, Amr of Yeshua, braid of Shimon Pazi, the Makal Lulashem Eitzim. He puts it on and he makes the condition. Because we find Rabbi Lezer, the Gemara is going to quote Rabbi Lezer, speaks of Gemara Mesech Tezvachim, where a limb of a carbon chattis got mixed together with the limbs of a carbon oila. The limbs of a carbon oila have to be burned. The limbs of a carbon chattis should be eaten by a kohen. So now we have all these limbs. What should we do? So Rabbi Lezer says, put all the limbs on the Mizbeach and make the following condition. If this is the limb of a carbon oila, so it should be burnt. If it's the limb of a carbon chattis, I don't mean that it should be burnt for the sake of being burnt. I just want it to be fuel. I want it to be firewood on the Mizbeach. Here too, says Rebbe Lezer, the Tanya Rebbe Lezer Oima, L'reich Nichoich HaTamala, there are certain items like sor v'dvash that may not be brought up to be burnt on the Mizbeach, but atamal shemetzim can be used as fuel. Here too, I will put this flour, this Beinu B'nayim, as fuel when it's night, that it should be full. Fuel. Ask the Gemara, Hanich Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer gives us this option in Masech Tezvachim. El Rabbanan that don't give us this option in Masech Tezvachim, Ma'ikla Meimah, what should be done? Amar Mari, the Kav Tishmani. We should be careful that only people who have thick fingers should do the kmitza, and such people don't have a problem that there will be kaimitz stuck between the fingers. Says the Gemara, Hash dosis lachi. Now that the Gemara gave us this option to use people with thick fingers to do the kmitza, Rebbe Lezer nami lechatchila the kmitza shamni. Rebbe Lezer certainly doesn't want to rely on this condition that we make, that we should say that maybe it should be fuel if it's not kaimitz, and he too will agree that we should use people with thick fingers. However, the Meiri points out that if it comes out that today is the turn of a kohen who doesn't have thick fingers, certainly he should not be exempt and should not be excluded from doing the kmitza. He should do the kmitza and be careful that nothing should get stuck between his fingers. And the Rambam brings a wonderful proof to this concept, because the Rambam says that the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur had to do chfina, had to do kmitza. Now the shaila is, if a kohen gadol, if we only allow to use kohanim who don't have thick fingers, when describing the various characteristics a kohen gadol had to have, why doesn't the Gemara say that he had to have thick fingers? Obviously, it's not likuva, it's not essential, and if a person doesn't have thick fingers, he could do the kmitza, he should just be careful that nothing gets stuck between his fingers. Continues the Gemara. Beinu B'nayim, Poshu, Machatz, Pozer, V'chisha, B'chfinis, Chaferi, Simon. Boira Papa. Beinu B'nayim, Shemloi, Chofnov. What is going to be the status with the flower that's between his hands when he does Chfina? When the Kohen Gadol does Chfina for the Ketores on Yom Kippur? Ask the Gemara, Makme Boile, exactly what is Papa's Shaila? Igomer, Meloy Meloy Mahasan, is this question, do we learn Xerish Shava between Chfina and Kamitza? Hainuhach. We already had this question on Amar Aleph, that is there Xerish Shava between Kamitza and Chfina, and we wanted to use that to teach us if that Kamitza will not be allowed to have, Chfina will not be allowed to have a measuring cup. So what's Rav Papa asking that is already not included in the shayla that was asked on Amar Aleph? Says the Gemara, Rav Papa Hachi, by the way, what Rav Papa meant to ask was as follows: Malai Chofna Vehevi Binan. The Torah says he should bring a full hand, that whatever is contained could be brought into the Kodesh HaKadosh for the Ketores. And that is fulfilled even on the part of the Ketores that is between the hands. Perhaps the lokach the heavy beaten. The Torah says that he has to specifically take the lokach. The aleka, he didn't specifically take the area, the ketores that's between the hands was not taken the shame ketores. A take remains a shayla. The Bikur Yaakov says a halacha. He says the din is that on Sukkot the aloch is the lokach the mulchem b'yom rishon. The Torah says we have to take the dalaminim. We also know that the aloch is b'yoyim, that the dalaminim have to be taken during the day. Says the Bikur Yaakov, let's say somebody picked up his dalaminim before it became day, and then it becomes day, so he didn't do a maisel l'kicha, he didn't take the dalaminim in the time which is day, it's still acceptable. However, the Binyan Shloima and Rabbi Yosef Engel, based on our Gemara, disagree. Because our Gemara just taught us that when the Torah uses the word v'lokach, it means it has to be specifically taken in intent in the proper way. So if the dalaminim were taken before daybreak, they weren't taken properly, and he would have to put down the dalaminim, pick them up when day begins, and then pick them up again, and then take them to be mekayim the mitzvahs dalaminim. Amra Papa, Shitali. Malai Kamsoi, it's obvious, like we spoke on Aleph, that when the Torah says Malai Kamsoi, it means Kedekamsi Inshi, the way people make a normal Kamitza. Which, as the Rishonim explain, based on the Gemara in Masechta Menachos, one holds out the palm vertically with the sides of his finger facing downwards and pushing the hand into the flower. However, by Rav Papa, Kometz Barashi Etzba'is of Ma'al. That means, what will be the halacha? That instead of pushing the side of his hand through the flower, he placed his open palm on the flower, then pushed the tips of his fingers through it, and closed his fingers on his palm, filling it with flour. Or, Mamala Mamata Ma'al, where he placed the back of his hand on the flower, and slid his fingertips downward into the flour until he was able to lift enough flour with his fingers to fill his palm. What's going to be the halacha if he placed the back of his hand on the flour and he did not slide his fingers into it, but rather he pushed the back of his hand downward until the flour entered his palm through the spaces between his fingers or from the sides of his hand? And all these shaylas, the Gemara says, teiku, we don't know. The Rambam paskins that if a kohen did kmitza in one of these methods, he should l'chatchila not burn such a kohen on the mizbeach, but if he did so, it's kosher b'diavet. Om Rapapa. Rapapa continues discussing chfina. Pshitali. Meloi chofnov, when the Torah speaks about chofina, it means kedechfina inshi, in the normal way a person fills his hands. Boira papa, chofan beroshi atzba oisov. If a person, the kohen did chofina with the tips of his fingers. Mamata mamala, if he did it from the bottom upwards. Mitzad, if he did it from the side. Chofan bezu bezu, if he scooped Torah in one hand, and then another hand separately, and then he put the two hands next to each other. Ma'al wal dalocha. Ma, the Gemara says teiku. And like Tosfos points out, that although Rav Papa asked these very same questions regarding Kamitza, he again repeats asking these questions regarding Chfina, because the laws may be different. And like Tosfos says, it has nothing to do with the Gzeirah Shava. Just the point is, as we're learning, Kmitza has to be done to the Kamtzi Inshi, Chfin has to be done to the Chafni Inshi, and what may be normally considered a Kmitza may not necessarily be considered a Chfina, or vice versa, and therefore a Papa asked the Shaila both by Kmitza and by Chfina.